Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
So do you feel recharged? I know when you travel with a youngster, that can take a toll on you. Do you feel like you need a vacation from your vacation?
Yeah, it would help.
If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation.
It always used to like kind of bother me as a kid. Like, man, sometimes my parents would fight like on vacation, like in like the logistical act of traveling. Why are they fighting? Why are they stressed when we're going on vacation?
My dad's the greatest dude I ever met in my life. He had a temper. Anytime anything broke in the house, 5 minutes into fixing it, he was bitching about his marriage. It was hilarious. He'd see something broke. Oh, Christ, will you look at that? Damn it, Billy, give me that screwdriver. I swear to God, I don't know I ever got married for.
And then I'm white-knuckling the wheel with my infant son screaming in the back seat and my wife getting car sick and the dog being stoned with CBD treats and, like, the vision out of the back window being blocked because we brought every single toy and contraption that a baby could possibly have. And, like, we're like, should we stop at Subway or Wendy's? Can we make it another exit? I don't know.
Hey! Hey, you threw that.
I'll turn this damn bus around. That'll end your precious little field trip pretty damn quick, huh?
And all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I owe my parents an apology for that one. Yeah,
so now you get it.
Dad?
Yes?
I'm hungry.
Well, you should have eaten your breakfast.
Hey, wasn't it around here that the Donner Party got snowbound?
I think that was farther west in the Sierras.
What was the Donner Party?
They were a party of settlers in covered wagon times. They got snowbound one winter in the mountains. They had to resort to cannibalism in order to stay alive.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, that hit a little close to home. I resembled all of that. Well done, Chris Tannehill. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. What up, Mac?
I don't think you have it in you to go Jack Torrance from The Shining. At least I certainly hope you don't. It's funny that that's part of the opening ceremonies. I just watched it over the weekend. It'd been quite some time since I'd watched The Shining. And sometimes being alone with people that can be a negative thing. Oh, glad you guys all made it home from Kansas City in one piece and nobody got ball batted and all was good, Danny. It's everything's good on my end today. How about you? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling optimistic. Every day above ground's a good day, and we got baseball season and the Cubs are rolling and the White Sox get it back in gear tonight.
Yeah, the White Sox, it's funny. I enjoy this baseball season immensely, not only because the sport has returned and sports have returned and there's that John Lester normalcy, but everyone's kind of losing their minds in both directions because we don't really know what to do. We know that sample size and waiting and patience is out the window, but I think that people are maybe going a little far on the other end because it is still just five baseball games. So I don't want to get too high for the Cubs, and I hope that Sox fans aren't getting too low about their team.
Yeah, I feel similarly. You know, this whole notion that one game equals 2.7, I get that from extrapolating the math. I truly do. But from the mindset of an athlete, you can't treat any game more than what it is. It's one game. And you talk about, you know, we've heard pitchers talk about letting the game get the best of them over the years, and after giving up a home run, trying to strike out two guys with the next pitch. You can't do that. You've got to relax, and you've got to breathe. It's a bad start for the White Sox. There's no way around it. But they're playing two. They've played two terrific teams to start the year. The Twins were expected by most to win the division. The Indians also had a lot of support, and Cleveland's pitching has been the best in baseball very early on. I mean, the Indians team whip is like 0.89. It's hideously good early on, and the White Sox ain't getting to them just yet. And they had their chances after bad starts yesterday. Lost both of them. I'm discouraged by it, but I'm not dispirited. A couple of wins consecutively, you feel real good about yourself. I'm not gonna freak out. Hopefully, Giolito bounces back from a really lousy first appearance of the year when he didn't even get out of the third inning against Minnesota. So, you know, you have to feel good about the ball being in his hand tonight. And
momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher.
There you have
it. Thank you, Vin.
Yeah. And Danny Plesac's little nephew. His nephew's a huge man.
Little Zach guy, Plesac. Little nephew. Little
Dan Jr.
Dan Jr., jeez.
He'll do the chucking for the Indians tonight. He made 21 starts a year ago in his first season in the big leagues, and he throws hard too. But hopefully the White Sox get some production out of some of the newcomers. And I know a lot of anger is being expressed toward Ricky Renteria, and I can't defend some of the things he's done. But Edwin Encarnacion has two base hits. He was expected to be a big part of this. Yasmani Grandal has two hits this season.
He should be playing a little bit more.
Yes,
but yeah.
I agree with that. But, James McCann was given, you know, I think some respect for a great season he had a year ago, and they've been splitting up those duties pretty evenly. I would think Grandal will wind up getting the lion's share of the work behind the plate. But time to get going offensively. Time to start scoring some runs.
It's just I don't want to, as Tanny would say, yuck another man's yum. Like, it's been so long since we've had sports, and we see this in all walks of life, right? Like, people are they're cooped up. There's pent up anxiety and frustration, and you know, economic anxiety and health anxiety and political anxiety, and like all of these things that whenever there's a match, it explodes like a powder keg. And sports, historically, it's like we get really mad at sports because it's trivial and it's like a safe outlet for our anger, right? Like, fan is short for fanatic. So for White Sox fans, it's been nearly 9 months since you've seen your team play a baseball game, and they have all of this hype and all of this enthusiasm, and every single game they get out with nothing. Like, they've been outscored 13-0 in the first inning,
yeah,
in the five first innings that they've played. They took a lead in the fourth game, or excuse me, in the second game. That was the only game they won, the Keuchel start. They were up 1-0, I think, after three. But game one, down 4-0 after one. Game three, down 4-0 after one, 9-0 after two. Game four, down 2-0 after one, 3-0 after three. Game five, down 3-0 after one. That, Rick Renteria's lineups, Nicky Delmonico batting fourth, Robert being down, Madrigal service time manipulation, Grandal, all worthwhile things. But if you're down 2-3-4-0 before your offense even comes up to bat, you're losing the majority of these games. Like, it's a starting pitching problem through five games for the White Sox.
Yes, yeah, it is. But it also helps to start hitting some home runs when guys are on base. They've got 10 home runs. The Cubs, the White Sox, and I think the Tigers all have 10 home runs, most in baseball. through five games. But nobody's ever on for the White Sox. They're all these solo jobs. That's unfortunate. They're going to score some runs. They're gonna start doing that with some guys on base. I'm not worried about it. It's a crummy start, but they can only win one game tonight. Giolito can't go out there and make up for last Friday night's loss and tonight's game as well, all rolled into one. It's just one start. You got to, as corny as it sounds, it's absolutely true. One game at a time, one pitch at a time. You know, nothing is settled yet. It's early in the season, and they're playing two teams that likely are postseason teams, or certainly should be a part of the postseason run until the last dog is hung. I would expect at least one of the two, if not both of those two teams, against whom the White Sox have opened to be playoff teams, Minnesota and the Indians. They're good baseball teams, so I'm not going to freak out over it. But at the same time, with the Cubs, I think you do experience some excitement over it. And you don't have to temper it in my world, because some of the things that were question marks remain question marks, but you're getting good offense. You're getting it from the places where you expect it, and then some. This has been fun to watch this Cubs team go about its offensive business. Javi Baez last night just rocking the ball all over Great American Ballpark. Good stuff. The Cubs are playing with a lot of enthusiasm, and they're getting good starting pitching too. So that'll take you a long way.
Starting pitching's been fantastic. The offensive approach has been amazing. The bullpen is very thin with guys that you trust, but you don't know. I mean, it's not mattering when they're scoring all of these runs and the starters are going as deep and as effective as they've been. They seem to be playing with energy. They seem to be playing with a true, you know, up the middle, opposite field approach that Joe Maddon tried to have them instill for a couple of years, that they're engaged in the game, they're celebrating, they're being loud. Like, the early returns on this Cubs season are amazing. But you say, you know, you don't need to temper your enthusiasm for the Cubs start because they're playing well, but you want Sox fans to temper their pessimism.
Yes.
For the bad start. So I guess
I want it both ways.
Okay. that strikes me as a bit of a contradiction, because because I'm the guy who honestly, like, I was worried about this Cubs team coming out and coming out flat, and I thought that they didn't have the right makeup to handle this. And so far, it seems like I'm dead ass wrong, and I hope to be. But if you do the extrapolation, right, of each game being worth 2.7, and we say in a normal 162-game season, you know, wait for Memorial Day or wait for the 60-game mark. Well, the 60-game mark equivalent in a 60-game season is 22 games.
Okay.
So the Cubs have played five games. They're nowhere near that benchmark of, you know, a little bit more than a third of the season at 22. So a losing streak could be right around the corner for them, just like a winning streak could be right around the corner for the White Sox.
Yeah, what's nice about the way the Cubs have started here, the calendar has benefited Anthony Rizzo. He's in great shape, and he historically has gotten off to slow starts. He's not been a very good cold weather hitter. Aprils have been unkind to him in his baseball life, and he's come out hitting the ball. And so far, Chris Bryant's not being part of the mix hasn't hurt the Cubs. And I say not being a part of it, not getting going offensively. He's a scratch yesterday with elbow soreness. He's announced as day-to-day, we find out yesterday afternoon, and he's hitting 0.59. So not a great start for him, but other guys are picking up the slack, and they're getting production from almost everybody in the lineup. So the bullpen really, really shaky. But, you're getting them into meaningful situations. So we're going to find out. Man, if we could just flip-flop the bullpen, right? If the Cubs can just have the white, because Colomé looked sharp last night. They got him some work. It didn't mean anything, but the White Sox bullpen closed out the last eight Cleveland hitters it saw in the nightcap last night. So it was a nice finish. Unfortunately, didn't have any offense to go with it.
Yeah, and for Chris Bryant, he is back in the lineup, and he's leading off, and he's back at third base against Sonny Gray tonight. Nice pitching matchup as the opening day starters for both teams get their second time around. NL Pitcher of the Week, Kyle Hendricks, goes up against Sonny Gray right here on The Score pregame at 4:40, first pitch at 5:40. You know, it's Up is down, left is right, Mac, with the Cubs, because good old Thom Brenneman, mm-hmm. he always never will lack a harsh word for the Cubs, but they're playing so well, and it's so obvious that even he's complimenting them.
High fly ball, well hit, deep right center field, and now they've scored in six straight innings. We thought earlier that Baez might have been pointing to Castellanos. I think it's become pretty evident they're pointing to their bullpen down the right field line every time they hit a home run. And look at this dugout. I mean, look, you can hate the Cubs. It makes no difference. But you got to give it up to a team that is showing the kind of fire and passion and enthusiasm that they are showing. There's a lot of guys down there making tens of millions of dollars a year. And they're coming to the ballpark like they're playing for a high school team. And I don't say that in a negative way in any form or fashion. In fact, it's a compliment. And I'm sure a lot of people will probably get upset that you're saying something nice about the Cubs, but it is what it is.
Why would someone get upset about that? They're speaking the truth. While the highly publicized Reds in the offseason are out of the gate very, very slow also at 1-4, just like the White Sox.
Enough already.
How many times has Brenneman gone off on the Cubs? Because you're the second, at least the second person, maybe the third person I've heard submit that today, that Brenneman, since he left the Cubs, has had nothing but bad things to say. I'm paraphrasing, but I remember something he said about, what the hell was it a couple of years?
Enough already was from the Cubs fans on the road being vocal about their team that they, you know, drive or fly to go see it. They were being loud in the Red Stadium. And so you can sing or go Cubs go, but enough already.
Okay. Was that it? Is that the only incident or
I'm sure there's more. Him and Marty, you know, Marty's had his moments on the radio side, which I enjoy a lot, but yeah.
He's a little smug and pompous, and Cubs fans like to take shots or get defensive when they feel like
some would say accurate, some would say that.
Yeah. But don't worry, Tanny. I'll get to your team's nice little losing streak here in a second. But yeah, I mean, he thought, you know, Thom's just it's a little punching bag. And so, you know, to hear him compliment the Cubs, it's, oh man, it's like I said, up is down and left is right.
Maybe he's a little bit bitter that he wasn't allowed to continue as the voice of the Cubs. You know, he wanted to continue, but the Cubs at the time on WGN radio were not willing, and it wasn't so much of a Cubs thing as it was a radio programming decision. Tisa Lasorte was the program director at WGN. She wouldn't give Brenneman permission to do NFL Sundays and lose him for four weekends out of the year. And I don't know if Brenneman carried that with him. I would think it would be easy to do so because he didn't really want to leave. He liked it here, even though he's from Cincinnati. And his dad, of course, many years the voice of the Reds. But maybe there's some bitterness over that. For me, I'm letting the guy do an NFL game so more people can find, you know, although I understand why late in a season when you're, of course, at the time it wasn't happening, they were lousy when he was doing the games.
This offense is just, it's painful. It's enough already.
Hey, I'll take any compliment that you can get because I was not too optimistic about the team looking very good, and they look awesome. So I will be very, very happy to be wrong about that one. But Tanny, are you concerned? It's what? It's five games. The starting pitching, the health, the batting lineups. Like, what is upsetting half of the very successful Locked On podcast the most right now?
Well,
is upsetting
we've,
you?
We've got the entire crew here tonight, so feel free if you want both of our opinions. Herb's right here, but you know,
what's
Sox
up,
fans, we are always angry. Just give us any reason, and we will tell you all the reasons. But I mean, the trend is certainly not the friend with the starting pitching. It begins and ends there. They need a quality start, and they need one tonight. And, you know, it just you nailed it. You're actually right. And I hate to say it. You were right earlier on in the segment when you talked about the buildup of waiting and then, waiting through this whole time and you finally get baseball and you finally have a team worth getting excited about. And then they just come out of the gate like this, laying some real clunkers down there for you. But, I blame the media. I blame everyone that was at Camelback Ranch and said how great they looked and how confident they were, because you guys really raised our expectations for this team. So I blame the media on this one.
It's got a little bit of a Bears vibe to it, doesn't it? Like, I said last Bears season was the most like hyped and anticipated Bears season of my lifetime. And then it was just one of the most frustrating and painful, and at the end so unsatisfying, like Teddy KGB. And I feel like that, even though the expectations for the White Sox were not necessarily the World Series this year, even though they were the most bet team in Vegas to win it, it was like, okay, it's the arrival, they're here, it's set up to be well, and now they've fallen short so far. Still plenty of time to turn around, but I do think that there are some 2019 Bears, 2020 White Sox parallels that could be drawn.
Yeah, I don't know if the bar was quite that high. I don't think it was as it was for the Bears last year. I did not see your predictions for records on the website. Spiegel was even more optimistic than I was about the White Sox. I have the Sox going 35-25. Matt has them winning 37 games. The most pessimistic out of everybody on the staff was Herb Lawrence, who had them going 28-32, the reason being the absence of depth in that starting rotation, and that sure is coming to the fore. Actually, anybody in the starting rotation other than Dallas Keuchel has been bad, including Lucas Giolito. He's got to bounce tonight, man.
Yeah, he does, and if you don't have any starting pitching, it doesn't really matter how good your offense is.
What was your prediction?
I probably would have said like 32.
Did you not turn it in?
I wasn't asked. I was told that going. Cody said
that's
I was
about
going.
Right, to, Cody. Way to go.
Yeah, Cody said, "Will you participate in predictions on the website?" And I said, "Of course." And then I never got the email to do predictions on the website, and then I was out of town.
Wow.
And then I saw that there were predictions on the website. So, yeah, I would have.
We submitted yours for you.
Okay, yeah. What did you have me down for?
It's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
Perfect. Yeah. I would add the Sox at probably 32 and the Cubs at like 26 or 27.
We agreed to some of the final bets. I think you and I had hammered out five before I took off, and then we did another four of them last week, and one of them we're falling already woefully behind on because it's something you can't quantify. I agreed to it. Spieg said, what is the bet? Wow moments? Oh, crap moments. Luis Robert versus Javi Baez, right?
How are we quantifying that?
Spiegel is the arbiter. Well, he said he was willing. He said, well, and I'd forgotten about it until last night.
Well, Danny, the idea was that we make it about ourselves, which I know you're very, very fond of. So we would compare if Javi had a couple moments last night, and you know Luis Robert had a couple moments the last couple games, you would say, hey, that was an oblique moment from Javi, you know, that nice play that he made going in deep into the hole, you know, look real slick. That was an oblique moment. Okay, well, Luis Robert had one where he nearly killed Leury Garcia going after a ball in right field. That's an oblique moment. So, you know, you chalk one oblique moment up for each side, and, you know, we kind of talk about it on the show and decide which ones are worthy and which ones are not, because we couldn't find a stat other than maybe OPS, but a stat that would suit both of the contenders there for each side. So the oblique moment, I think, would be a fair one. So that's what we decided.
Okay, I like the creativity. I like making it about us. I remember when we did this. I think it was on the Spiegel and Parkin show, and we did some over-unders for the season, and it was how many times are people going to mess up, take me out to the ball game. Like, get a lyric wrong. And Spiegel was like, I will absolutely listen to every rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and I will absolutely keep track of it. And then he absolutely did not.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's my only
concern. We've got 10 games to chart. We have 10 games we're backed up on where no one has been keeping count.
So that's why I liked, you know, Darvish v. Giolito strikeouts, because if we forget about it for 10 days, we could just pull up Baseball Reference and then count.
Let me share with you, because I haven't as of yet, what the dorkiest bet we have is.
Okay.
Nick Madrigal got sent to Schaumburg the day after we'd agreed to a bet. So we had to handicap the bet. And right now, it looks like Nico Horner is going to really run away and hide with this. It's Nico Horner plate appearances versus Nick Madrigal plate appearances. And because Madrigal doesn't start the year with the big club, he's getting 25 and a half plate appearances. That is so
I like Horner. I like our side of that one. That's a ridiculous bet. It's a fun bet. We're just the ishiest show ever. We're gonna forget about this for a while, and then there's gonna be four games left in the season, and we're gonna be like, oh, Shep, can you count up every single bet that we do? But I like it. And if the mob can tally, like, oh wow, that's an oblique moment for Javi or an oblique moment for Lubob, so that we can analyze them on the show, I'm in. So do we get to seven or nine? How many?
We got
bets
to nine, I believe. But if you take out the oblique moments one, we're at eight, because I don't know how we're gonna keep track of that thing.
It's so we'll end up reducing it down to eight, and then we'll tie it 4-4. Like, that would be very this show for that to be the result of our Cubs Sox.
Well, I owe you $100, by the way.
Oh.
You know that, right? Remember when I predicted boldly there would be at least more than half the teams in baseball would have a player opt out? We're not close to that.
That is correct. Well, we're
Kachingo! I made money on it.
Yeah, I do win that one. We're not we're very close though, right? It ended up being
No. The total number of players, yes, but I think the teams, I don't even think we're at double digits with teams.
Okay. Yeah, I must have done it with players instead of teams. All right. $100. You can pay me on the golf course. And Shane Reardon is saying that I was included on the MLB predictions email with
So was a very reliable source, Cody Westerlin, also telling me the same thing.
Was it my Entercom email or my Gmail? Because obviously I don't check my work email.
You were busy. You were pulling over at a rest stop to change a diaper and maybe deleted it angrily.
July 16th, though, that's before I left town. I don't really have much of an excuse for this one. All right, Cody, that's my bad. It's on Cody for not reminding me. Let's continue to point fingers instead of a thumb there. Yeah, I should have remembered. All right, I'm sorry, but this way I can't lose any more bets because nothing is actually on the record. Isn't that how that works?
I guess.
Right? That works out kind of nicely.
Well, there's nothing to be won, though, anyway. I mean, it's just
true.
Predictions. We don't get anything. All you do is look the fool if you're way off.
Yeah, no one ever comes around and is like, wow, your predictions were spot on. It's just if you get anything wrong. All right, fine. So I'm sorry that I left that down. I would have said 32 wins for the Sox, 27 wins for the Cubs. So we can mark this and mock me for it when those are incredibly wrong. Len Casper will join us at 3 o'clock to talk about the Cubs' hot start and what it's like broadcasting road games from a dark Wrigley Field like he's done the last couple of days. And then the winningest coach in Illinois basketball history, Lou Henson, passed away over the weekend. Gene Cady, the Purdue legend, is going to join us to tell stories about his old friend and rival coming up at 3:30, but the Bears brass spoke. I think Matt Nagy might be lying about something, and we'll see if we can find anything interesting from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up on The Score.
Adam Jones. Hey, guys. You guys were talking about tight ends earlier in this Zoom call. It's probably been the most overhauled position, I would say. I think Jesper Horsted is the only one coming back. So for both of you, can you take us through the process of this overhaul? And for Matt, what do you think your offense is getting? How much does the offense change with all the personnel change within this very important position, you know, for your offense?
Well, we heard you, Adam, tell us we have like 17 tight ends. So we're just trying to take your advice and get down to like three for you so you stop writing about them. But other than that,
Dang, Matt Nagy off the top rope on Adam Johns. They can't say that they don't read the papers, in this case, The Athletic. But I like that. Matt Nagy, a little edge to him. He's locked in.
Yeah, these Zoom conferences, you find head coaches, managers, general managers, vice presidents, all trying to play the role of stand-up comics. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it's a swing and a miss. But yes, there has been a lot written and a lot said of the Bears because they had so many tight ends that can't be said anymore because several of them have either been released or, you know, you take what you can get for some guys. And I guess I give Pace a little bit of credit for getting something out of the Adam Shaheen pick, right? I mean, it just didn't go by the wayside.
Give me something.
Something. There it is. Give me something.
Yeah, the conditional sixth-round pick. I was gone when that trade went through. I was surprised, you know, that in terms of news that you would expect or not expect to see. I did not think that Adam Shaheen would be involved in a trade. Not that it's much of a haul, but I don't think Bears fans have a lot to fear with him making them regret that trade. I'd be surprised if he blossomed in Miami.
Yes, I would also. I don't know if we'll hear much from Adam Shaheen again anytime soon.
No.
Anytime ever.
Yeah, exactly. Will he ever do anything in the NFL? The Bears quarterback competition is obviously the top story for the team this year. They trade for Nick Foles. They say they're going to play him in preseason, and then the preseason gets wiped out. So how the hell are you going to do this? Matt Nagy, I thought and have said that Matt Nagy wants it to be Foles. He traded for him. He brought in John DeFilippo. He brought in people who, you know, he had worked with Foles in Kansas City. DeFilippo had worked with him in Philadelphia. It was a familiarity move for the coach. So that had been my prediction for a while. But he was asked today about whether or not Nick Foles is now at a disadvantage in the competition.
Here's what I would say to that is I think for sure it's an absolute more of a disadvantage not having what he could have had is building the relationship, and probably more specifically is the timing with the wide receivers that you get in the OTAs where you can run route after route after route after route. You get to see and feel how guys time up their motions. So for sure that will be a disadvantage, something that he could have had that he doesn't have. But those guys know that. He understands that. And for both of them, you know, it's just going to be neither one of them should go out there and try to do too much. You know, they just need to be themselves when they're out there, play football, and let the results take care of themselves. They're both really good people. So in the room, it's going to be really good there. Flip's going to do a great job fundamentally getting him right. But again, just like we talk 30,000 foot view of practice, Flip and those quarterbacks are going to have to be really good in regards to, you know, what we do offensively, what we're working on, making sure that it's things that we really feel good about using down the road, because that time got crunched. So, he could, Nick knows that he's a smart guy, and it's, but at the same time, I think he'll be hungry to get back out there and just really get on the field and try to build those relationships up that he lost.
If one of the quarterbacks is stinking it up and he's playing like crap, we're going to tell you you're playing like crap, right? And if you're playing really well, we're going to tell you that in front of the other one. They're both going to know when someone's playing good and someone's playing good, or someone's playing bad and someone's playing bad. They're going to know that. And so when the time comes that we inevitably need to make a decision, trust me, it's not going to be a surprise to them. And that's where I think open communication helps.
I think that what he's saying there is honest on its face, that Nick Foles is at a disadvantage because he's not working on the field with these guys in timing routes, and Trubisky has the history with them. But in there, he also says, but Nick's a smart guy. He'll catch up. He'll be on the field in practice and all that. I think that's what it's going to come down to. Nick Foles has more football smarts within this offense that he'll just be ahead of Mitch Trubisky because he knows the offense better than him.
Yeah, and he doesn't get the benefit of of a chance to win the job in preseason scrimmages. Preseason games is what I mean. That's unfortunate for Foles. It's unfortunate for anybody who's fighting for a position but isn't regarded as the starter. And the Bears don't have depth charts posted. At least they didn't as of yesterday on their website. But we've been told Trubisky will take snaps with the first group when they start. So with no preseason games, unless he is god-awful in something that happens in practice where he really loses the trust without having games to do that, Trubisky is going to be their starter when they open the season against the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, Foles doesn't get the benefit of being able to compete for the job with no preseason games. I think that's honest. As far as what he said about being open and upfront, in front of the other, I don't know why that would be anything new. I think that probably has been the case in the past, even though they didn't have – What you didn't have last year with Chase Daniel, or the year before Matt Nagy's first 2 years here, was a legitimate threat of somebody to come off the bench. So there wasn't really much of an awareness on how people were interacting or what they were saying around the other, because Chase Daniel was never going to take off the baseball cap unless Trubisky was hurt.
I agree. Obviously, the openness and the transparency, they've been touting that since the beginning, but it seems like that's just a baseline level of respect that you should have amongst professionals. So you think Trubisky is the week one starter against Detroit?
Yeah, I do.
I think it's Foles. We'll see. I mean, and there's a good chance both of them play this year, but I do think no preseason games gives Trubisky a leg up at the start. I just think Foles will overcome it, but we will find out soon enough, it seems. But and they're not going to announce that for a while, but Trubisky clearly is going to start as the starter. Len Kasper in 15 minutes. The Bears think they got a plan, Mac, to pull this season off. They got it all figured out. They're going to try to sell us on it next on The Score.
I don't condone this, and I think it's reckless. I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb, but...
Yes. Every team has a plan. Will the plan work? None of us have any idea. We'll talk to Len Kasper in 10 minutes, but that was on Hub's mind today, Mac, when he was on the Zoom calls with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Let's hear how Hub addressed it with the Bears GM.
Guys, thank you for doing this. This is really for Ryan and Matt, if you can. Andre used the explanation when asked about how he's advising players just to weigh the risk versus the reward. And I'm curious how each of you feel about what is the potential risk of doing this? How do you feel about participating? And beyond, obviously, the reward of being able to do your jobs, is there any additional reward in succeeding at it?
Hub, yeah, I think we're all realistic about the obstacles and the challenges that we have ahead of us. And I think, I look at, Matt and I as leaders and just communicating and educating our staff and our players on the challenges ahead. I mean, our head's not in the sand. I mean, It's going to be hard. And I think, and also Hub, with that, being sensitive to everyone's outlook. Like, I think every individual can look at this a little different and being sensitive and respectful of that. And for us, it really comes down to more about actions than words. So I'm really excited when our veterans get here, Hub, and they walk in the building and they see everything we've done, because I truly believe, you know, we've gone above and beyond, and they're going to feel that when they get here. I really believe we have the best setup in the NFL in regards to how we're handling this. And then we know, you know, there's going to be challenges and we're going to have to adapt, as Matt just said, these are uncertain times. But I think that's I know it's a great strength of coaches, just the ability to adapt when things are happening real time. And that's what we'll do. But I just want to stress what we've done with our facility. And again, we have an advantage just with our square footage and then just being creative with how we've set up all of our rooms and how we've spaced out. And there's been a lot of hands on deck with making that happen.
What do you think? You think that they got it figured out?
Well, that, you know, I wonder how he knows what 31 other NFL teams have done to prepare for getting their teams in camp with a pandemic in progress. I suspect he hasn't been anywhere but his own facility. I don't doubt him that he has the space and they have taken the precautions. Whether those people who fill up the chairs, you know, are respectful of everything that's asked of them is another story. I think it's going to be very difficult, especially once guys spend just a little bit of time around each other, just as we've seen with baseball players. When they've started, after you dip your toes in the water a little bit, you start to feel a little bit more of a comfort level, and then you forget about everything you were supposed to be doing, like not touching one another, like not being within 6 feet, like not going maskless. So, you know, it's all fine as long as it's executed. I'd like to believe all 32 teams have a sensible plan, but that's probably naive on my part. Because we just saw a leader of a Major League Baseball team put his team and the opposition at risk by letting a text message group vote determine whether they would play with positive tests over the weekend. So
yeah,
who's to say?
Who's to say, right? And all it takes is one thing. Like Lou Williams going to Magic City for the Wings.
Right.
It didn't end up causing any harm. But it could have.
Those are good wings, man.
Oh, it's a hole in my resume. I've never been, I've never had them, but I hear good things. So I guess I respect it. He's got wings named after him at the strip club. That's legend status. What is the bigger like baller move for an NBA player? To have wings named after you at Magic City in Atlanta? Or if you're James Harden, they literally retired your jersey and like hung it in the rafters of their strip club in Houston, and they have a Harden 13 up there.
I don't know what the bigger honor is on the menu, but I don't know how many people go to a strip club and eat.
Oh, and Magic in Atlanta, apparently it's a big thing.
Yeah,
apparently they're very famous. So the legs and eggs buffet, man, gotta try it at least once. Len Casper is broadcasting these games in a shirt and tie from Wrigley Field while the team is on the road, and he's doing a hell of a job. Want to ask him about that and what he attributes most to the Cubs' hot start. Len Casper next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.